Our gospel today is the fifth and final section of the Bread of Life discourse. So it was interrupted last week because we had this Assumption of Mary, but typically for 5 weeks in a row, we read from that discourse where Jesus proclaims that the bread that he will give is his flesh for the life of the world. And whoever eats his flesh and drinks his blood will live forever. And so it's a very extensive teaching about the Eucharist. And today we hear the people's response. And the way that people respond to this is they said, this saying is hard. Who can accept it? And so the people were not willing to believe what Jesus was trying to teach them. And Jesus' response is interesting. He says, what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? What does that mean? What's he saying to them? Well, he's predicting his resurrection and his ascension. Basically, what he's saying is, would it matter? Would you believe this if you saw him ascending into the glory of heaven? Basically, what he's telling them is that he's not giving them normal, regular human flesh to eat, but it's the flesh of the risen Lord after the resurrection, radiant with the glory of God. And he says, it is the Spirit that gives life. God is Spirit. And so what he's telling them is that by receiving the Eucharist, they're going to receive the divine life of the risen Lord in them. So that's his answer. And they probably don't understand it. But as a result of this, it says that many of his disciples left him. This was probably one of the most disastrous sermons that our Lord gave. People just got up and started leaving. And these were disciples who had been following Jesus, many of them, for a long time. They had been listening to his teachings. They had witnessed his miracles. Most recently, the multiplication of the loaves. But before that, healings and exorcisms. They had witnessed all that. And despite all of that, because of this one teaching that he gives on the Eucharist, they turn and they walk away. And John even mentions at this point the one who would betray Jesus. And so he's giving us a hint that it's perhaps at this moment that Judas makes the decision to turn against Jesus, which leads to his eventual betrayal, that it's because of the Bread of Life discourse that he did that. And so you have to imagine how agonizing this moment was for our Lord. You know, he had left the glory of heaven to come to his people, and he was preparing for the moment of redemption, the most important moment in salvation history. And he was ready to embrace his cross. And he was about to conquer sin and death. And as he's preparing for this and teaching the people about the reality of the Eucharist, they turn and they walk away. And so you have to imagine that this is a very gut-wrenching moment for our Lord as he witnesses this. But what can we learn from this? Well, I think one important lesson is that rejecting one teaching can turn us away from Jesus and turn us away from eternal life. That's what happens here. You know, these people saw all these miracles, they saw all these healings, but it was one teaching that they weren't willing to accept, and they left our Lord. And as a priest, again and again, I've seen people turn away from the faith because there's some teaching that they won't accept, that they refuse to accept. And they lose sight of everything else. They lose sight of their baptism. They lose sight of the reality that they've been nourished by the Eucharist. They lose sight of what the church is, that it's God's instrument of salvation. And because of one teaching, they turn away. I've seen it over abortion. I've seen it over the definition of marriage. I've seen it over the teaching on contraception. I've seen it over the teaching that the fullness of truth is in the Catholic Church and that all religions are not equal. You know, I've seen people who just won't take that step and they turn away and they lose faith because of it. So I think it's important for us to understand what faith really is. And we have to be careful because we're in an era that people want to pick and choose what they want to believe. But that's not real faith. If we're picking and choosing what we want to believe, then our faith is really in ourselves. And that's not a good place to be putting our faith. Real and authentic faith begins with the affirmation of the divinity of Jesus Christ. when we're able to take the step that we can say, yes, Lord, I believe that you are truly God. If we're able to make that act of faith, then everything that he says is true, and we'll be able to conform our intellect and our will to him. And so faith is an affirmation like we hear from Peter in the gospel. You know, as all these people are leaving, and as Peter himself probably doesn't understand the teaching of the Eucharist, but what he says is he looks at Jesus and says, you have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. He makes the act of faith. And it's important for each and every one of us to do the same. Not to have faith in ourselves, but to have faith in Jesus Christ. To make that affirmation and to embrace all the teachings that flow from it. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't have questions about certain teachings of the church. You know, that's normal for us to have questions about certain things. And it's a good thing for us to have those questions. And not just to say, well, I just have to believe, but to seek the answers to those questions. And I'd be happy to meet with anybody or to provide them with the resources if you do have questions about the faith, if there's some teaching that you struggle with. And I'd be happy to talk to you, to anyone about that. But there's a big difference between having questions about the faith and seeking the answers versus denying or rejecting teachings of the faith. And so it's important that we never sit back and be satisfied if we're in opposition with any church teaching. Often people do that. They'll sit in the pews and they don't accept a certain teaching. And it goes on that way for years. But ultimately what that does is it turns us away from Jesus and it undermines divine and Catholic faith, which is necessary for our salvation. So we should never be satisfied, but always seek the answer. Make the act of faith in Jesus Christ. Make the act of trust and seek the answers. And in particular, this applies to belief in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. You know, that's what the gospel is focused on. You know, our bishops are realizing now that there's a need for revitalization of faith in the Eucharist. That many people don't believe in the Eucharist anymore, or they're not living as if they believe in the Eucharist. And so we're going to see an emphasis in the coming years from our bishops on the reality of the Eucharist. But I think a good thing for us to reflect upon is if we truly believe that the Eucharist is the flesh and blood of the incarnate Son of God, how should that impact our actions? Well, first of all, we should always desire to spend time in the presence of the Eucharist. Coming to Mass should not be a chore, but something that we desire and that we seek, or coming to Eucharistic adoration. And when we do receive the Eucharist, we should always do so first by making an act of faith, affirming who it is that we're receiving. And secondly, to make sure that we're receiving the Eucharist with the greatest possible devotion that we can muster when we receive the Eucharist, both in our interior attitude. And part of that means going to confession frequently, so that we can receive the Lord with purity of heart. And if we've committed a grave sin, going to confession before we receive the Eucharist. But part of that is our external actions as well. You know, for centuries, Catholics had knelt and received the Eucharist on the tongue. Why did they do that? Because it was an external manifestation of their faith in the Eucharist. That they knew that it was God that they were receiving, and they came before him on their knees. And to this day, it is the right of every Catholic, if they choose to do so, to receive kneeling and on the tongue. But I think too often there's been a lack of reverence in how people receive the Eucharist. And so over time, that causes their faith in the Eucharist to be weakened and to diminish. But today, as we continue with this Mass, we pray for the grace to embrace faith not in ourselves, but an authentic and true faith in Jesus Christ, in his divinity, in the fullness of truth that he desires to reveal to us. And we affirm our faith in the reality of the Eucharist, the greatest gift that our Lord has given to his church.